Chers auditeurs, chères auditrices, bienvenue à Radio Créum et à la balado-diffusion du colloque en mémoire de Jerry Cohen qui a eu lieu à l'Université McGill le 27 novembre 2009. Dear listeners, welcome to Radio Créum and to the podcast of the conference in memoriam of Jerry Cohen that took place at McGill University on November 27, 2009.
Well, welcome everybody to this semester's GRIP day-long workshop. In many ways, I wish we weren't devoting the day to the work of Jerry Cohen. I mean, it would have been a nice thing to have devoted the day to his work in other circumstances. As you know, Jerry passed on quite suddenly earlier this semester. When we thought about our program, we thought that we absolutely needed to commemorate his work in Montreal, which was, as you know, the place of his birth. So I won't spend a lot of time introducing Jerry. I imagine that everybody knows the essentials of Jerry's life and work. He was born in Montreal in 1941. He attended this institution where he received a BA before he went to Oxford, where he worked with, amongst other people, Gilbert Ryle and Isaiah Berlin. His first academic job was at UCL, where he was until 1984, when he was, as they say in England, elevated to the titular chair in political philosophy, which he held until last year. His tenure as a titular professor, I think, was one in which he really marked both the political philosophy that got done at Oxford and the political philosophy that got done more generally in the English-speaking world. I think it's fair to say that when the history of post-war Anglo-American political philosophy gets written, an important place will have to be reserved for Jerry Cohen's work. When Jerry died, the outpouring of emotion in the blogosphere, but also in sort of real-world events, was unlike that I'd encountered in the case of any other political philosopher in recent years. I attended a similar commemoration in Lisbon about a month and a half ago, and it was quite both moving but also revealing to see just how deeply he'd marked the political philosophy that got done, again, in Oxford, but in the English-speaking world as a whole. I think it's very fitting that we do an event for Jerry in Montreal. Jerry's ties to Montreal were not just sort of biographical, they were very real. I remember just one anecdote. I remember having lunch with Jerry many years ago in Oxford when I was considering taking a job in an English university. And I asked him, in the midst of a quite jocular and sort of joking lunch, as lunches with Jerry were wont to be, I asked him when he had finally decided that he wasn't coming back to Montreal. And he all of a sudden got very serious. His look changed completely. And he looked at me and he said, "Daniel, I haven't decided that." And I think that was really, he was very sincere. It wasn't that wasn't a joke. There were a lot of other jokes, but that wasn't a joke. I think he had a real tie to this place in many ways. And before we get started, so I'll say a few words about how the day is going to run. We have six brief presentations. People are always worried when they're given less than a year and a half to prepare a talk that they won't have enough to say. I don't believe it for a second, though the day is organized around the assumption, which may end up being defeated, that we will have six short presentations followed and discussion following each presentation. We've paired them by twos, so we will have two presentations occupying a total of about 90 minutes each. So we'll break for lunch at about 1:15. There's no organized lunch. We're downtown, so people can just find their way to an appropriate lunch spot. We'll reconvene here at, I think it's the plan is 2:45 for the last session, which will go till about 4:15. I think washrooms and everything are well indicated. Before we get started, about a week and a half ago, I knew that Jerry had a brother here in Montreal, but I didn't know how to find them. There are just too many Coens in the phone book to make sort of calling them all a realistic alternative. But Michael Cohen contacted me about a week and a half ago, having found out through the internet that this event was happening, asked if he could attend, to which I answered no, but he insisted. So I said that he could come. It's a great honor for us to have Michael with us. I should also say that Michelle, Jerry's wife, contacted me from Oxford, having found out that we were having this event, and wished us all well and thanked us for marking Jerry's work and life in this way. So I thought that before we started, I should give the floor to Michael Cohen, who will say a few words about his brother. Would you like to come here? Or?
I was very moved when I found out about this event happening in Montreal, and now I moved again. I knew Jerry was a real academic big shot, but as Daniel mentioned, the outpouring of warmth from friends and colleagues after he died was just overwhelming and reinforced that understanding. You have a lot to talk about today, but I'd like to just tell you about one anecdote which to me epitomizes Jerry. One of the last times we saw each other, we were walking around the Hasidic area of Montreal. And I was asking Jerry about a problem I had at work as a labor lawyer as to whether one can contractually relinquish fundamental rights under the Quebec Charter. And we were having a very serious discussion, and Jerry was, smashing to smithereens my arguments, which was what I wanted, so he could help me reconstruct them more cogently. And, in Jerry's way, he was very difficult and perceptive, and he held nothing back in terms of his criticism. And then we came upon three young Hasidic Yiddish boys playing in the street. They must have been six or seven, with payas and a yarmulke and yarmulkes. And Jerry immediately engaged them in flawless Yiddish, albeit with a very heavy East European accent. And these kids looked at this guy and said, "What is going on?" Because it was so counterintuitive for them, this weird-looking guy with a shmata chuk on his head. Those who know him remember that, he could find something that even Village des Valeurs wouldn't sell. And he started talking to them, and they were sort of taken aback, and within 1 minute they were laughing and making jokes with him and him telling them stories. And to me, that experience epitomized Jerry, because he could turn from being a serious, analytical, perceptive philosopher into the comedian. And I think that if you look at the agenda today, it reflects it, with the first five topics topped off by the sixth about comedy and philosophy. So, like I said, it's for me to have this going on in Montreal. I feel very touched, and the entire family is very happy that Jerry's spirit lives on. Thank you.
And I should say, just as a final introductory comment, that this isn't the last event on Jerry's work that's going to be held in Montreal. It happens that the Congress that used to be called the Learned's Social Sciences and Humanities Federation is being held at Concordia this year, and there will be a day-long symposium bringing together political philosophers from across the country, a day-long symposium devoted to Jerry's work. So that'll be, I don't think the date has been fixed yet, but it's usually late May, early June, and information about that will be circulated through the regular channels.